Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafil's Fantasy Podcast.
Who knows?
More people might be,
opting out. But Jeff, we're not opting out. We are not opting out of this edition of the Olafil's Fantasy Podcast, August 6th, 2020. Greatest year in American history, rivaling the year of Pearl Harbor, the year of the Great Depression. Just great years that live on forever in the annals of U.S. history, 2020, lest we never forget you. I'm here, Jeff. You're there, Jeff. And we have so much to talk about on this podcast. I mean, the rundown is filled to the brim of things that just really embody this podcast, and I'm excited to get into each and everything with you, Jeff. But first and foremost, how are you today?
Well, I mean, despite your lead off about the annals of history, I'm doing great. Excited to be here with you. There's going to be a wide range of topics, I feel like, on this show. I would say the NFL news and the fantasy is in a bit in limbo. We'll get into that a bit later, but it's always great to hear your voice. And pre-pod, I was hearing a lot of you and the wifey's voice. Season of Home Improvement, you got some project going on. I want to hear it. It seems like phase one of a kitchen reno going down. Armas, when we do the Best Bud Cookie Club, his entire yard, front yard, backyard, his driveway is covered in gravel and dirt, and it's all dug up. He's doing some renos, and then Kurt's considering buying a $4,000 custom grill. I mean, that's a season of home improvement if I've ever heard of one, Will.
That's a lot of, I guess that's a lot of meat you have to cook to get your money back on that one. Quite the investment on there. With us, I mean, we could probably go back, 10 pods or so. We had a water leak in our house, May 18th. Still has yet to be fixed in our house. The contractor that we had really pretty terrible their jobs. And we have yet to make any progress at all. They've not done one thing to this house except for install a temporary laundry sink that we can use as like a kitchen sink. Because right now that's all we got.
Thanks.
Yep, and that's it. And that took some pulling. They don't respond to emails, phone calls, anything, and then they get mad at us and just what I don't know what's going on. So we just had.
Do they not like money?
The worst part is I think they're gouging us with money. So I'm really confused. The long and short of it is, if they were overcharging us, but at least getting it done quick, I wouldn't be upset. Or if they were taking forever, but they were getting us a slamming deal, I wouldn't be upset. But instead, it's they're overcharging us, and they're taking their sweet time. So that's, two things that don't go great together. So we just had another contractor visit just now, scope out everything, and what he said was, oh yeah, he can start in 2 weeks. Which, it's been 11 weeks? It's been like 11 weeks, since the last contractor has even taken a look at this place. So that's what's going on here. Not fun. It is a home improvement, and we're just trying to make the best of a bad situation right now. What Moose is doing, that's what we've been wanting to do for a while, but you've never been here. No one's ever really seen our yard. It is quite the slope. So it goes, it's a hill that goes into a pond, and because it's so uneven, we'd have to get it leveled out. We'd have to get it pretty much, reshapen at some point, and that just costs way more than just getting grass sod taken out or put it in and gravel put it in. So that's more of a long term, down the road thing for the yard.
Wow. Yeah, that is a deep season of home improvement going on. I mean,
JTT.
I can't even imagine the JTT. Exactly. I don't know if it's an underrated show, but I mean, it was a classic back in the day. I'm not sure if it holds up. Talking about shows, Will, we've mentioned it once or twice on the pod. How's the movie industry going to adapt given, the Rona and who knows the uncertainty around that? you thought of an interesting idea, and I like to think that this pod and your idea kind of went out into the ether, and the Disney execs kind of perked up their ears, and they are actually releasing Mulan, which I believe was supposed to come out March 17th or 12th, around that time frame, literally as things started spiraling into their current state of lockdown, or at least lockdown for us out here in California. And so movie theaters are no go. So they are offering it. Your price, I believe, was somewhere in the range of $15 to $20, Will. They're going with $30 for the live action Mulan on Disney Plus. Understanding that Disney Plus is pretty much their only source of strong revenue now, other than their merch. So what are your thoughts? Congratulations on contributing this idea to Disney. I will await to hear if you receive any royalties from this.
Have you driven by any movie theaters by any chance in the last, 3 months or so? Have you ever just driven by and see what's going on?
I drive by a Cinépolis when I go to drop off Kellen. I don't know if I'm sure you're familiar with Cinépolis. It's just a luxury movie theater. And they have this sign that they've had the entire time since March. They haven't changed it once. It's like some quote, like, there's always a happy ending in the movies. And we look forward to seeing you soon. And it's just been there since March. It hasn't changed. I was like, come on, update this sign.
So, that's kind of where I was going, except for a theater that is next to Shake Shack is still has movie posters of Mulan, of The Hunt. Remember that movie? Oh, wow. That's like a pig. I want to say there's one more that I'm just like, man, this movie came out almost a year ago at this point. But yeah, it's just like, they haven't been just collecting dust over there. So the $30 price tag for Mulan, I get it if you're trying to get the families of four. I mean, it is a kid's – it's not. Rephrase that. It's not a kid's movie anymore. You're trying to get a family of four, I guess, to kind of sit down and watch, or that's how you get the $30, right? You get the four people instead of each paying 12. Now you're each only paying 7 or 8. So it kind of works out a little bit, but if you got a married couple and a dog, or a married couple with a 2-year-old, $30, a little bit of a hefty fee. And I don't, is this a purchase or a rental? That's what I'm not really sure on. Because if it's a purchase, then, that's how much Blu-rays are, right? When they kind of first come out. So that could kind of ease the pain a little bit. But if it's just a rental, then, that is quite a pinch for that. But it is the future of the business right now. I'm just stalling. Because it is the on-demand
fee. Now we're just talking about the losses. I don't know. It's not clear. It looks like a rental. It is, I think, trying to target the family, and that's the price tag.
I mean, the weird thing about this too is instead of going to the theater, let's all go to someone's house and each pay $5 for the movie. But then you're just kind of ironic, because the whole point of not going to the theater is not being with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Because of Corona. And now you're all going to go to someone's house and split the $30 Mulan. But, people do that with UFC and all that stuff. So I could see that. But I'd like to think someone's got someone's got their ears kind of, Mickey Mouse ears perked up when we talked about this. Bill and Ted's doing the same thing. I do wonder this. Drive-in theaters are kind of making a little comeback. Why aren't they? I wonder why execs and movie buffs aren't doing the drive-in approach. Do you have any thoughts as to why that is?
I'm not sure. I was actually thinking about that with relation to the movie theater that I drive by. There's a field right next door. Why couldn't they just pay the city some money and, to your point, offer a socially distanced, I don't know about drive-in, but at least, put down some blankets and movie in the park kind of thing. California, I would think the main inhibiting factor is there's no land with which to have a drive-in movie theater other than the old areas or the swap meet or stuff like that. But I guess you have the Great Park, and you have the park in Costa, the fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. So those could be utilized. I'm guessing, I don't know. I don't want to speculate, Will, but now that we've put it out into the ether, I'm sure they'll start popping up.
Well, there is an actual drive-in theater in Riverside. I used to go there every once in a while. I believe it's called like Van Buren or something. It's quite a classic.
Yeah.
So I just don't know why, you know, they do it. Because, and places are doing like this, you know, there's hotels here. Like you just said, there are fairgrounds or places that are kind of doing, you know, oh, we're showing Jaws 2. And you're just like, what? Okay.
Yeah.
But I think that's just more of the classic feel. You know, what a classic, by the way. Jaws 2. I think that's Jaws 2 The Revenge, by the way. I'm not really sure how that is. By the way, is that like The Sun? We'll save that for the Jaws podcast. Let's just get into some more dire news. And this is bad, Jeff. I don't think anyone would have expected this back in March, February, March. Halloween, you know, it's now 2.5 months away. I guess you could say just under three months now that we're in early August. And the reason I bring this up is Universal, like a month ago, announced that they're no longer doing the Halloween Horror Nights, you know, in Florida or in California. The local theme park here, Carowinds, where I was a Halloween actor last year,
Scarowinds,
and I was really looking forward to doing that. They just announced that they're just not even opening at all. This season, the whole theme park, which obviously means the Halloween version is no longer going to be open. We were just announced in North Carolina that phase two is going to stay until September 11th, meaning no bars, no clubs, no gyms are allowed to be open as well. Are you worried, Jeff? Because I am. I'm starting to get a little worried that Halloween, because 5 months ago it was, oh man, is it going to last till Memorial Day? We were supposed to go to a bachelor party for Steve on Memorial Day weekend in Miami, and we thought about not canceling it. That was almost 3 months ago, and we're still here.
Yeah.
Halloween's on a Saturday this year. It's on a Saturday.
I can see how the Scarowinds type experiences are going to get canceled because the main thrust of it was getting so close to the person that you could breathe on them to make them scream. In most instances, you're sneaking up. There's a lot of spittle and projectiles happening. It mostly happens at night, which isn't great. So I can see those. I do get it, though. There, you know, like most things, there's going to have to be some adjustments. I don't think trick-or-treating in the traditional sense where you knock on the door and you say trick-or-treat, I don't think that's going to be a thing. I think, you know, you have your door open maybe and you got your candy 6 feet away from you and kids get it and then you spray it down with some, I don't know, disinfectant or something after that. It's going to get real weird. That being said, you know, at least in the Hutchins household, we will be spending guaps of cash on decorations and costumes. Will they be used? Mm-hmm. I guess that doesn't matter, but we're going to be propping up the industry. You know, my hope is we're a couple months out. Maybe we can keep on this decline. Maybe we can, you know, get some good processes and procedures in place. Not hopeful for that. So yeah, Halloween could be in danger. This is something to maybe track on the pod.
I really hope this doesn't pick up any steam. Very nervous and just worried about my favorite holiday. And like I said, it's on a Saturday this year. This is supposed to be the comeback year for 2020. I mean, the year of the holidays, the year of a new decade, and just, you know, this is what we got going on with right now, Jeff. One last little opening segment before we talk about anything related to anything. I have some...
It's not like our first segment is really related to anything, but go on.
I got some Corona questions for you. Corona, well, I guess coronavirus questions, not Corona the beer. Questions for you that I just want to know your answers on because they've been kind of wearing on me the last couple weeks, but more so the last couple months. So, first question, ready?
Yes.
Are you worried about Mowgli once the parents, aka you and Shay, eventually aren't always home?
No.
Oh!
I mean, a little bit. But he was already, when he was growing up, he had long, long spaces of not seeing us. So he already has some separation anxiety. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of the times, too, since we moved back, we would drop him at the grandparents. And Shay's dad would watch him during the day.
Oh, so he would never have to be kind of like alone for long periods of time.
Yeah, we would maybe like 1 or 2 days a week he'd go over there. So it wouldn't be like multiple days. It would just be like one or two days during the week where he would be alone.
Okay, number two, coronavirus. How much, and please be honest here with me, has it really impacted the menu on Taco Bell? Please, please, please let me know.
The menu decisions were actually made before coronavirus.
Interesting. Interesting. And that's on the record.
That being said, we have introduced new, they're not really new, but like we have these big combos. We have like a 10 for 10. We have family packs. Yeah. We have make your own tacos. Those are all corona driven because people are ordering more for families and less for individuals. So,
question three, because you are an office man, not the show, the job style. Do you think in the future, whether it's a month, a year, that working from home is going to be the normal?
I think companies will explore, you know, leveraging it more often. I guess, you know, being more open to maybe a Friday work from home or something like that. Speaking for Taco Bell, and I'm sure this is a problem that many businesses have, is they're locked into long-term leases in these commercial real estate properties. Like in 2019, we re-upped our lease in our current building for 10 years. I'm not sure how easy or not easy it is to get out of that. And I don't think they want to. I think they eventually want to get back to a place where people are in the office. But I think it, you know, there will be maybe smaller companies where it's like, okay, this has worked well. It's not ideal. Maybe we can find some, when we need to come together, some temporary office space to work. So I think the nature of work will change a little bit. How widespread, I think, will vary by industry and company.
Very nice. Very nice. Last one, Jeff. The community, again, this is still about work because you are living the office life. The communal break room / coffee pot, a thing of the past? Please comment.
Well, I mean, I assume this is once we get through coronavirus to some normalcy. No, I think it'll come back. I think it's always the water cooler, the coffee pot, the kitchen break room. That's, you know, it's a place where people leave their cubes and their offices, and they come together to, you know, imbibe over sweet treats and delights of the caffeinated variety.
I think this was enlightening for everyone, just to see that there is a light at the end of the tunnel after COVID-19, Jeff. Thank you for answering those hard-hitting questions.
Thank you. Thank you for asking that. I didn't know where you were going for that. So I was like, I'm not about ready to give a presser on, you know, coronavirus.
No, it was great. It was great. Jeff, the reason this next thing is on here is only because I like to look, again, peek behind the curtain here of the rundown. I always kind of look to see what we were talking about at this point last year about, you know, were we making predictions now? Were we fantasy this, whatever. What were the news headlines? Well, this was the big headline this year, this time last year. It was about the chicken sandwich wars of 2019. Exactly this month last year, Shake Shack, Popeyes, Chick-fil-A, all that stuff. Did you ever get a Popeyes chicken sandwich? I just want to know.
Yes, we actually, as a team, when we were all in the office, all went out for lunch and got Popeye's chicken sandwiches.
Ooh.
And they get my seal of approval. Oh, they're absolute class. They're thick, tender, juicy, good flavor. I got the spicy ones. Got a little bit of a kick to it. It's not too much, though. It's better than a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. I'll give it that.
I mean, come on. We're not dumb. Of course it is. Chick-fil-A is Ugh, so overrated. Okay, great. And I think that's good for the non-NFL fantasy update. What are we, like 20 minutes in already, huh? Woo! Hope you guys are enjoying this. Jeff, anything else you want to add before we hop into the rigmarole?
No, well, let's just kind of jump in to the NFL fantasy world.
I guess we're back into COVID, though. All right, back to COVID news. So, the curse of the pod. Can't wait to see what happens after I post this tonight or tomorrow. The second we did our zero RB mock draft, the second we posted the pod, the second we talked about taking Damian Williams as our, what was it, our high, you know, risk upside guy who might be the veteran who gets all the carries, he decided to opt out. Again, he was probably listening. He probably heard our Mulan talk, our Disney talk, and thought, why would I want to be a seventh round pick in fantasy when I could just sit out the season and make some money? So Damian Williams is going to be sitting out this season, which promptly vaults your boy, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, to top 10 status in fantasy drafts. Also, you know, random players have been dropping out as well. It's at 61 players. So would you say Damian Williams is kind of like the barometer for fantasy, I guess, players? Now, there have been offensive linemen who have been dropping out. The Giants lost their star, right, the most expensive offensive lineman, the one who came over from the Patriots, I believe.
Nate Solder?
Yep, Nate Solder. Lost him. He is opting out. I believe the Chiefs just lost their rookie tackle they drafted. The Patriots obviously have lost their offensive lineman. So Damian Williams kind of like the big fantasy star. And last week you said, oh, it's going to take, you know, it would have to take a Patrick Mahomes for anything to really happen to kind of discredit this season. You wrote that August 6th was the deadline. I kind of feel like I read somewhere that they extended it by a day or two. I'm not sure about that. But has this crept up on you a little bit now, ever since, you know, last week we talked about it?
No, I don't think there has been, you know, Alan Hearns is another one.
Oh, well, the whole Dolphins receiving core has pretty much opted out.
So not exactly so much impact. It is kind of interesting to think about, maybe not big names, but if you just whittle away some depth at the running back position, like some lower name guys start opting out, that could impact how drafts happen. But as we get closer, I mean, I don't think this is going to have a big impact, at least before this opt out is going to have a big impact on fantasy NFL wise. Oh yeah, you're talking about offensive linemen and defensive players who are opting out. I mean, Von Miller still considering it. So that could have an impact on the teams, which in turn could have some impact on fantasy and the players and how they're used, and you know, the second and third order consequences. But still confident there's going to be a season, and I don't think many big names, if any, will drop out.
Well, this just kind of...
Now to just curse.
Yeah, okay.
Right there.
Now this is kind of like transitions to our next kind of segment. That is talking about fantasy in general, just fantasy football, and our league that people have followed on this podcast now for the third or fourth season. Third season, I guess. No, wait. This would be our fourth season of the ship on the league, on the podcast, I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
Just sending out feelers to the commish. It's hard to reach, very hard to reach. He lives in the boondocks of Colorado. I think they got their first color television 20 years ago. So he finally was able to get back to us, and he made a snide joke about their shutting it down. But he did say they are looking into reactivating it this week, and he's going to see who's in and out of the league. Now, this time last year, Jeff, there was a preseason game probably going on or two. At least the Hall of Fame game would have been done. Training camps would have been fully in. Draft dates would have been kind of in the atmosphere, right? Hey, how does Saturday work? Whatever. There's been no bites. Not just this league for me, but the other two leagues that I've in. Like, I haven't heard anything yet. So, not just about the ship, and we can relate it to that first with the 12 or 13 people who pay there. But how about just in general? fantasy football. Is there anything that's kind of worrying you yet? Because it is August 6th, and the league does start, I believe, September 9th or September, you know, that second week of September.
I think there's just a lot of uncertainty, at least for the casual players, you know, that I believe, you know, a lot of big money leagues are still, you know, keeping things going. I wanted to talk about Wrath Pool and some of the things that I'm throwing around to maybe ease the uncertainty. First and foremost, potential league name change to the Chantilly Cream of Leagues. I don't know.
Ooh.
I've been toying around with that. Since not all of us were, you know, a part of Wrath Pool as, you know, an event, but everyone is a part of the pod, and it is the Chantilly Cream of Pods, so therefore we need the Chantilly Cream of Leagues. Other than that, I was contemplating, like, okay, let's put some guardrails, and we've already been talking about differences in payout structures for the league, so I think those will, you know, quell any fears. So first and foremost, some sort of rule around if the season were to be canceled, you know, whoever is in the league, like the payout structure would go to the current standings. But to give people other opportunities, you know, we would do things like whoever scores the most points in a week, gets a certain payout. Whoever has the most points at that time gets a certain payout. You know, I liked your idea of having the last place person pay whoever the winner is, you know, half their buy-in or whatever. I think you're not going to be able to get much more, I think, detailed than that without making it unmanageable. Like, okay, if this game is canceled or postponed, then you adjust the points for this player. Because to a certain extent, every player and every team almost has equal risk. I don't know if you agree with that, but maybe there's some in certain geographies that have different risks, but everyone has at least all the access to the same information, so it's fair from that perspective. And I think you make it as easy as possible on the FAB and the waiver wire perspective. Increase roster sizes to have maybe two or three IR spots so you can swap people in and out without impacting your bench. I don't know.
It is. It's a lot of, I think it is a lot of uncertainty. I just don't. One of the things, too, that I've realized is no one's really, I don't want to say talking about fantasy, but I had not gotten, like, me texting you and Jason was kind of like the first time. I wonder if Jason's heard about it. Like, I don't know that, but has he been thinking about it? Has he been talking to people? In my other league, I have checked our group chat. It hasn't been talked about since the winter of last season. There's been no talk or anything about it. I've been reading, you know, oh, what happened? Like you just kind of mentioned, right? If the season ends after 8 weeks, do you count that as a season? Like, is that fair? Like, if someone was on a bit of a heater near the end of the last, you know, the last 3 weeks, and now they're 3-5, and they would have made a run. I don't know. At one point, do you just refund the whole season? Do you do, instead of a season-long fantasy, you make it kind of like a DraftKings thing, where in terms of you draft a season-long team, but each week is its own entity, where each week there's a winner, and that's it. Like, we play it 1 week at a time, but you're still using your team, just always giving someone, you know, the most points award, and then leave it at that. I just don't know how it's going to be impacted when you do get those players that go on COVID. Let me relate this to this baseball league that I just, you know, unwillingly joined because everyone else kind of wanted to do it. And I feel like this might happen with football. This happened the night before the first game. Like, we finished our waivers the night before the first game because everyone's just like, all right, whatever, let's just randomly pick up players. Literally, opening day, I had my best player on the COVID list, Juan Soto. Like, he immediately tested positive, and I was like, cool, that's rad, that's rad. He's my keeper. Like, immediately put him on the COVID list. I haven't even checked anything, to be honest, in this league. And it is baseball, so it's a little different, but no pitchers are really pitching past five innings because they had no, you know, there was no spring training. There was no real practicing. So is in football terms, if they don't, if there's not a lot of practicing, if it's all virtual, there's no preseason games, are we going to see Tyreek Hill run any, you know, speed, you know, some goes right away? Or is he just going to do a bunch of slants because he's just not going to want to burn out his legs? Is someone like Mahomes going to have an advantage over these rookies because their arms aren't going to be used to the NFL? At what point are we just going to see a bunch of sloppy play, kind of like everyone's favorite sport, college football? A bunch of sloppy football, and it's just not going to be exciting. I don't know if you've watched the NBA either. Have you?
No.
The games. It's very entertaining. But the it's
gops?
Oh my gosh. And I mean, you're talking about final scores of 145 to 142. It's like an all-star game because no one's really playing all that great a defense. James Harden is like stopping people on defense sometimes because of just the energy of people that are going on right now. So it is just a bunch of unknown. And I just don't want to get put into a situation, right, where it's September 4th. And the Chiefs-Texans game is September 10th, and it's, okay, we need to draft tomorrow. And it's like, what? You know, and you're paying money to do this, or, you know, something unknown happens there, and do you have to wait, and you wait another day to draft, and next thing you know, the games are tomorrow, and you don't know what's going on in the league. So I am kind of, you know, is it going to take a lot for me to get all in? I think so. I think just personally, once it gets to that point, I don't know if I'm going to be willing to just make it happen and be all in and be comfortable with what, you know, the moves I'm making or whatever. Like I said, baseball, I just looked at it just now because I haven't looked at it in a week. And one of my pitchers is on the 60-day injured list. Did not know that. So, yeah, there's that. So that's my thoughts. A long and long-winded diatribe on a fantasy right now.
Look, I 100% agree. It's going to be slops McGops at least for a couple weeks. You know, depending on how physical these training camps inevitably get. I mean, even preseason to training camp versus training camp to a regular season game, the speed is completely different. That being said, I think the difference between football and basketball is the star-driven nature of it. In that football, you'll have a lot of people who aren't making a lot of money who want to show out and want to try hard, and that can have an impact on a game, which I think will necessitate you know, other players from at least playing a normal way, right? Like, Tyreek Hill still wants to get paid, and he wants to showcase his abilities. Will he go 100%? Is he going to? Maybe not, but he's still probably fast enough at 95% to beat most corners. So I think there will be some of that. It will be sloppy. I mean, the play calling and people executing will be sloppy. I think the biggest thing, and what I'm proposing, is I'm going to lay it out up front in the Chantilly cream of leagues that, you know, here's what I'm proposing. If you agree and you pay your money, you kind of agree to abide by the structure, right? It can't be like you're that person who lost the first three games, then goes on a 5-game win streak and you're in fourth place and the season gets canceled. You can't be like, nope, like, give me my money back. It's like, you by, you know, signing and sending your money via Venmo, you agree to this contract. Okay, there's no go backs. And, you know, understandably, if like, I don't think that's necessarily unfair. But I think ideally in that case, right, if you were on a heater in those 3 weeks, you could have won two and then potentially got at least half your buy-in back, right? So it wouldn't be a total loss for you.
Can't wait for the non-binding NDAs.
Oh, there will be documents signed, notarized, and executed here.
Let's try to bring things up a little bit here. Ooh, I guess.
Let's get to some bold.
Yeah. Onion hangers. So bold predictions 2020 edition. I did also want to know if you just wanted to make some playoff predictions. Like, that's what we did last year. We did playoff predictions, but you know, maybe one of our bold predictions, well, there will be no playoffs. And remember, 7 teams make playoffs in each league now, each conference. Nice. That's very exciting. Bold predictions here. I'm going to cover yours. Okay. I know you already saw mine, but it's fine. I'll go with my easy one first. We each made how many? I made 3.
I made 3 as well, just to match you.
Okay, perfect. Okay, 3 bold predictions here. I'll save my onion hanger for the end. And interesting to see which one you think my onion hanger is. First one, bold predictions for 2020. I think the team that will finish with the worst record, I don't know if this is super bold, but this is going to be my prediction, is I love him. I love the stash. I love the jorts. But I don't think Gardner Minshew and the Jaguars are going to be very good. So I'm going to pick the Jacksonville Jaguars as a team with the worst record in the NFL. That's my first prediction there, Jeff.
Minshew.
Thoughts?
I don't want to... Yeah, I wouldn't call it super bold. I mean, you look at most people who are... putting up stupid ranks of whatever, be it, you know, offensive strength, roster talent.
Oh, wow. They're actually the lowest over-under. Wow. Okay. I'm going to change it up. Wow. All right. They're the lowest over-under at 4.5. So
you are part of the Minshewians, so I understand why you would think it would be bold, but the Cognoscenti would mostly agree with you, I feel like.
Okay. I'm changing it up. New one. The Washington football team, all right, their current over-under is 5.
Yep.
I'm going to say they win 8 games.
Yep. I don't hate it.
That's bold. I think that's bold. 8 wins.
I think last year we did a segment or I made a prediction that you asked a question, who won their division this last year would be like a top 5 pick. Mm-hmm. Right, and I was stupid and picked the Eagles.
That off.
I think Washington. I don't disagree. I think, you know, obviously they have issues at the quarterback, the most important position, and the backup quarterback, the second most important position. But I think they have a fairly talented defense. Yes, with some holes. They have Scary Terry. They obviously have an interesting situation at the running back position, but we could look back and they could have that fixed up with the rookie they drafted, or if Darius Geis' knee holds it together for a season. I mean, that could be a position of strength. I could see them winning 8 games. I don't think the NFC East is going to be, you know, the Eagles and Cowboys. And I think with the...
Whoa.
Sorry, Washington football team, WFC.
Wow.
WFC. I think with Ron Rivera in there, Riverboat Ron, make some gambles. And I kind of like it for the WFC.
All right, give me one of your bold predictions for the NFL this season.
I will build off the WFC prediction and say that, you know, in this time of COVID, we need stories of triumph and overcoming adversity. And there is no one who I think in the NFL or with minor exception has
Adrian Peterson
the possibility of overcoming adversity other than Alex Smith. And my bold prediction is that at some point in this season, Alex Smith is the starting quarterback of WFC.
Oh,
coming back from the devastating injury, almost lost his leg, almost lost his life, and now he's looking good in his Instagram videos, and that's all we got this offseason. So I think he's beating out Dwayne Haskins. I think he's beating out Kyle Allen. You know, he isn't the sexiest quarterback. He's probably the best game manager to ever play the game. And for WFC, that's probably all they need. It'd be great for Scary Terry. I think they can get that running game going. Riverboat Ron, WFC, get him to 8 wins, Alex Smith. Come on.
I mean, they were 5-2 2 years ago when he got hurt.
Yeah.
Wow, what a... I thought you were going with Adrian Peterson and the, you know, the children comeback story going there. Like Alex Smith. And, I mean, he's you said he's not the sexiest. Kind of sexy. I think he's kind of a good-looking dude. He's got, like, a Ryan Gosling vibe to him. I feel like that's kind of what he looks like.
Yeah, I can see that.
Something like that. Good on you, Alex Smith. And the beautiful Washington racial slur uniforms, by the way.
Oh, clean.
They're looking
clean.
They're looking...
Chris.
I mean, they're looking like a generic team builder in Madden, but oh, I mean, yes. They look great. Oh, yeah. I mean, the helmets look great. I love the numbers on the side. I'll be excited. You know, we talk about boring teams on this pod and just in the annals of the NFL podcast. They talk about boring teams. I feel like they were boring last year, maybe, but I think sometimes like a dumpster fire is exciting to watch. They could be like that too. They could either be excitingly bad or excitingly interesting, and I'll be down to watch them play. This
going
season.
Off script, Will, who do you think will be the most boring team?
So this season, I think it'll be the Bears, and actually, that is the team I was thinking about putting as the worst record, the Bears. And I don't know why I didn't do that, to be honest.
Really,
I think they're going to be the most boring. I already thought they were boring before. And now they have Nick Foles. I mean, and their running back situation was pretty bad last year. Allen Robinson's great, but I think they're going to be boring, especially compared to the other teams in that division. And the Lions got some, they got some, you know, some wind.
Marvin Jones?
I'm trying to think of a word.
They got some spice in that Chantilly or what?
Yeah, they got some spice. And speaking of spice and the Lions, let's go to my second bold prediction here. The year of the cats. Now remember, seven
Tiger
teams
King.
Do make the playoffs.
Remember when
the
Tiger King was a thing?
Yeah, that was not like 8 months ago.
Yeah.
Seven teams in each conference make the playoffs. With that said, I think the Lions and the Bengals make the playoffs in their conferences. That's pretty spicy. Two cats. The rebuilding since 1957 Detroit Lions and
right
the Cincinnati Bengals who haven't won a playoff game since George Bush Sr. was president. I think that's a fact. So I kind of just came up with that, but I think that's a fact.
I thought it was Reagan.
I thought it was like 88
or something.
It might be. It's close. It's going to be close. It's close there. There you go. That's who I think make the playoffs.
Okay. I think it's bold, but I want to get some nuance in the boldness. Are they going to be that seventh team kind of squeaking
I can't either confirm nor deny.
You don't have to go for both. Like, I can see, you know, as a shocker, I can kind of see the Lions winning that division. If for bold, right? If you're going to get bold, like, yeah. Did the Packers and the Vikings get better this offseason? I don't think so. I think they're at least the same. And you just spoke about your love for the Bears. So I feel like the division has, you know, gotten tighter. Bengals, I don't think they're winning the division. But, yeah. I mean, if they're making the playoffs, give me AJ Green all day.
That offense is going to be talk about spicy. Yeah, spicy offense.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those where I'm going to be intrigued to watch the first couple weeks because it could be super spice or it could be an absolute garbage dumpster fire.
Here we go, right here. Lions, over under 6.5. Bears, 8. Hammer the under on that Bears. Come on now. Oh, man, this might get very interesante when it comes to that division. And then likewise, Packers and Vikings is both over under 9. So you can see how much spice they really feel that division is going to be close in the Vegas and the NFL cognoscenti. All right, Jeff, give me your bold prediction number 2.
Sentient. So we teased it a little bit earlier, talking about Damian Williams opting out. I wouldn't say I'm a detractor. I've heard this story time and time again. David Montgomery, I believe, was the perfect example last year. Rookie running back. And now with no offseason, no ability to, you know, work the playbook, limited chemistry, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is now the fifth or sixth running back off the board. He is a first round pick. And I don't doubt that the upside, just looking at what he did in college, which obviously we know is an exact correlation to the NFL, looking at the offense he's in, looking at the opportunity he will have to score touchdowns, to catch balls from Patrick Mahomes, to benefit from all the other skill weapons on the field, people are drafting him as if he could be the number one overall running back. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily disagree. I just don't think it's probable. So my bold prediction, and you tell me if I need to go more bold, is that he will finish outside of I wrote top 10. I'm going top 12. He will be an RB2 this year, not an RB1, and will not pay back his draft position of the first round.
Okay, well, then we can do some little comparisons here. Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Leonard Fournette?
In terms of who I would draft?
Yeah.
It's close there. I would take Edwards-Helaire just for the offense, but I mean, if Fournette, I think, is kind of being overlooked if he's able to replicate his catches from last year. I think he caught like a ton of balls, so I think he's being a little bit underdrafted.
Edwards-Helaire or Le'Veon Bell?
I think I lean Le'Veon. I think he has shown it at the NFL level multiple times that he possesses the skill set to be a top five, if not number one overall running back.
So now, obviously, those are players who are kind of, you know, those are like third round picks, second round picks. Now let's kind of get up here for Edwards-Helaire, since he's kind of rising a lot. Miles Sanders or Edwards-Helaire?
See, I don't agree with where Miles Sanders is. I would take Le'Veon Bell above Miles Sanders, mm-hmm. but I think they're very comparable. I mean, I know what is wrong with Sanders, but I'm also seen him be successful. I think I'm going Miles Sanders, but not at his current draft position.
I mean, it's bold. I'd say put some top 10 on it. Oh, you said top 12, though. Never mind. I'm sorry. So you are going bold. You're saying outside top 12. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Who would be better than him then? That means you think Chubb will finish better than him? That's a good given. You think Mixon will finish better than him?
Yes, sir.
You think Aaron Jones will finish better than him?
I'm not a big Aaron right Jones now, Aaron guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, in theory, the Packers' offense could be good, and they want to utilize the run. So I could see it being close. I could see it as a possibility that Aaron Jones beats him. But I could also see someone who's not being drafted. You know, I could see Todd Gurley finishing higher than him. I could see Chris Carson, if he ever gets healthy, outscoring him. You know, I could see someone like Marlon Mack if they cement his position as the number one running back and gets the opportunity. I mean, I don't see why he doesn't have top 10.
Here is a noted name, and if you say this person's name, then we will put it on the dock if you think this person. This hated kind of anemoth. In anemoth, is that a word?
Anathema?
Enigma? Where else going there?
This isn't the vocab pod, right?
No, this is not. In fantasy circles, especially on this pod, Clyde Edwards-Helaire or David Johnson, finishes higher?
God. Don't do Kenyon Drake next either, because I mean that's another one that I have no idea. I think that Clyde Edwards-Helaire scores more points than David Johnson, but both are RB2s.
Darn, I was really hoping to put that on the dock. All right. All right, that's fine. Time for my onion hanger. Okay. I don't know if you think this is an onion hanger, but I think this is an onion hanger, just where we're going at right now with the talk of everything. So for the 2020 NFL season, and let me know if you don't think this is an onion hanger or not. We all know COVID-19 is ravaging the world, but mostly the U.S. No groups getting together. No fans are probably going to be in attendance at all this season. But where I'm going at here is the NFL 2020 season. Not one game will be canceled. Zero. Zero games. Regular season. I mean, preseason, you know, do what you want. And I'm not talking about, you know, only because of COVID. I mean, we've had games canceled in the past, 2 years because of hurricanes. There was games that were pushed because of, I mean, I'm going all across the board here. I'm going pandemic. I'm going tornadoes. I'm going voter fraud. Oh. I'm talking all this stuff. Not one regular season game will be canceled. And I just think the NFL will push forward and do what they have to do, you know, whether it's good or not. To keep this season afloat. Is that bold? Yes or no?
I mean, it's pretty bold given everything going on in the world. I will say this. I want to get some clarification because it will determine the level of spice if we're at a jalapeno or a habanero here. Postponement versus cancellation.
That's a good question.
If it's no game, like, I get it. If you want to say games can be postponed, but by the end of the season, every team will have played their number of games.
I'm going no games will be postponed.
Wow. Suspended.
No games will be, no, everything's, I'm sorry, your 10 a.m. Lions Bears will go on as scheduled. There you go. I'll put that on it. No games will be postponed. The only issue, the only one that I can say can be postponed will be the very, I think Chiefs-Texans might have, just because it's the very first game, but I don't even think that one will be postponed, to be honest. I think that one, if any game, is going to be the one that goes on no matter what. But if that one gets postponed, I wouldn't be surprised just because they'd rather have them all start at the same time on a Sunday, you know, whatever. There you go. No games. No regular season games. Postponed. There you go.
That's pretty spicy. That is pretty spicy. All right. My onion hanger. It's a two-parter, but they're related.
Oh, great. Oh. Ooh.
We got a team with some hype. I mean, I've been appreciative, Will, of your predictions because they've brought some teams that, to your point, have been boring in the past, and we got to add some spice and show the love. I mean, we can't talk about the Chiefs and the Ravens every 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But this team is getting a lot of hype. I think you are on board this hype train, and I want to make a bold prediction. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the darling of this offseason, they will get a top 10 pick in the NFL draft, and newly signed LeSean McCoy will outscore Ronald Jones in half-point PPR this year.
Okay, the second one, they drafted another running back, too. Okay, I mean, I don't know. That's an interesting one. The first one, you made a very similar bet last year with the Eagles, right? That's what we talked about, the Eagles. You said they would have a top 5 pick.
Yep.
Top 10 pick. See, but a top 10 pick, you could be 6-10 and be in the top 10. I don't know how I feel about this bold prediction, Jeff, about the top 10 one.
Oof. Okay. Okay. Dare Ogunbowale is another running back on their team, but that's not the person they drafted. I mean, update your website, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Come on now.
We talked about him last week. It was like, it starts with a K or something, doesn't it? It's like,
yeah, Keyshawn Vaughn.
Keyshawn Jenkins or something. Oh, Vaughn. I was just kidding. All right. Yeah, Keyshawn Vaughn. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. So, top 10 isn't bold enough. I mean, I'm not willing to go top 5. I think they will win some games. What about finishing last in that division?
Okay, I'll take that. That's okay. A good one. Okay. That's a good one. You think they're gonna... That's spicy right there. Last. Okay, right now their over-under is... Oh, my God. 9.5. Oof.
Yeah. It's a high. I mean, they...
I like it.
Tom Brady, new situation, no off-season work, Gronk on the team.
I have a riddle for you about Gronk. Did you see what his Madden rating is?
I thought it was, he was upset about it, right?
I'm not going to answer that question. Okay. You did not see it.
I didn't commit it to memory. I remember seeing something
posted on Twitter. So he sat out for a year. Obviously, did some WWE, all that stuff. It's out of, you know, there's only like two people who ever get like 100. What do you think his rating is?
Just I was tempted to go to the 99. Google machine. I thought it was like very...
Oh, don't you dare.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm going to say it was... I remember saying it because he liked it, but other people were pissed. I think it was like an 88 or something like that.
Okay, that's pretty decent guess, I would say. If I were to tell you it's like a 95, would that boggle your mind?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe he's like the second highest rated tight end. I'm gonna actually see. Now I don't know where he is compared to everybody else, but I do know he is in the high 90s.
Yes, 95.
There you go. He is 95. I nailed it, and he is the top rated tight end. No, he's not. Zach Ertz is 90. Wow. Can you believe he's higher rated than Zach Ertz? That's
crazy. Tom Brady's a 90?
Yeah, they're all. Okay, Kittle is 98. Kelsey's 97. Gronk, 95. A dude who sat out for a year.
And last time he was on the field, he was not great. So
he did make the bet. He did make the best catch in that Super Bowl against the Rams. He did make the game-winning catch. But yes, I agree.
The snoozer Super Bowl?
Forever be remembered. Yeah, so there you go. Gronk at 90, 95. You think they will finish last place in the NFC South. I like that bet. I definitely want to see how that turns out. Of course, if there is a season. But according to me, no games. Not just getting canceled. No games getting postponed.
Yeah, that is... I mean, there are a number of reasons for a cancel, postponement, at least.
But you know what, Jeff? This isn't getting postponed.
Nope.
And as far as I know... We're going to be drafting fantasy teams in a couple weeks. Should be exciting to see how that turns out. Not going to know much more until, of course, this podcast posts, but I'm sure there'll be breaking news one way or another. Jeff, it was an absolute pleasure today on the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast. Anything else I failed to mention? Anything else rattling off your brain that we did not touch on?
No, Will, it was great to speak with you. Glad to hear that your microwave will get plugged in again at some point.
Oh, it is.
In time. Glad to hear that your coffee is hot and that you're doing well, good sir.
Just before we go, I have to check the Roto-World wire in case there is breaking news. And dare I say, the curse of the pot has struck again. Clay Matthews. The unsigned free agent Seahawks have shown interest. So there you go. the latest news in the NFL news wire. So thank you, Jeff. We will reconvene next week. Oh my goodness gracious! And today was supposed to be the Hall of Fame game. That is some breaking news right there. Steelers Cowboys was supposed to take place tonight. So that is it. That is when the first game was officially. Supposed to be. Stay tuned for the Los Angeles Hard Knocks debuting on Tuesday. Can't wait for that snooze fest. Until then, peace out.
Peace.